right. Welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming. Please. Delta Green, Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. My name is Joe, and I am doing the intro, not my ridiculous friends who insisted on doing something crazy instead. But luckily they were able to get it out. In the meantime, how are we doing? Dace, Brad, and
Joe. Doing great. Fantastic. When you said ridiculous, I really thought you were going in a different direction. You're like my ridiculous.
He only calls us those names off air.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, I only say the other things about you, you know, when I'm not being recorded. That way there's less blackmail out there. Unless you guys are recording me locally, which is going to be really problematic if that ever hits, you know, the
airwaves. The internet.
Yeah. So how you guys doing? How you guys doing? We've just finished our first of, for those of you who haven't figured out by now,
I'm blinking.
We typically record... What?
I'm blinking many times for help.
Oh, I like you're blinking Morse code, like 313-313? Yeah.
Yeah. Just like anyone watching, just please help.
We don't know Morse code, we just thought you had something in your eye.
Yeah. But yeah, for those of you who haven't figured out, we typically record two episodes at a time in like one recording session.
Don't tell them!
So we... Oh no, they'll know that we do things and how we do it. Oh no, Jean. John likes to preserve the magic.
The magic. Like the magic of this mic stand.
Like the magic of John's perfect mic stand, which on the John mic scan mic standometer scores pretty low because it's just a stack
of
books.
All right, let me take you through this bad boy. I have a Shiatsu 3D massage box. I have one times wooden cutting board. I have nebulous white box on top of it, but then the kicker is, don't you quack at me, the kicker is that I need overhang, so then it's got some balance at the back with a speaker and a big old 3.5mm cord to keep everything stable.
This old chestnut, this old segment, everybody's favorite segment, what the fuck is John Luca using as a mic stand today?
I can't, this is from a while back, but you know,
if
someone...
If this was a baking show, this would be the kicker.
Yeah, John would definitely be winning if we were on like a greatest bake-off kind of thing.
If this was a baking show, you would be Martha Stewart because you're a felon.
If this was a baking show, I'd be taking a knife to you to make sure you're not cake.
All right, well, speaking of turning on your friends...
Show, we're not doing that.
Speaking on turning on your friends, let's talk about Delta Green, Puppet Shows, and Shadows Plays. Last time, you guys had some decisions to make. You're like, okay, well, we know we've got a lead over here at this Black Eagle place. Last place Leslie was seen, one of the victims was seen alive. But we want to, I think Thorne was about to be like, hey, like, I don't trust Jack. If Jack wants to go there, that's not the place I want to go immediately. So a little bit of character conflict between you guys on how much you trust each other.
We hate each other.
You guys... went back to your motel and you got some info. There was a very productive conversation with Cooper of Cooper, Bailey, and Morris, with Bert and one of his law firm guys. He basically says, hey, I've got the footage. I'm ready to send it to the media or to you, whatever you want. Just let me know. You guys elected to not put it on the news, where Bailey, Cooper, and Morris would put up a... what is that? Like a reward money for some clout in the area.
I think it's brilliant.
You guys elected to not do that. You're going to get a copy sent to you so that you can see it first. You know that the coroner's was ready for you as well. And then you also got some info on Dieter Van Olsen, you know, who's apparently some type of like oil man almost, you know, like in a... back in Denmark. So, you guys decided you were going to go see the coroner. You go see the coroner, Frederick Smith. He's dumbfounded at what he's found with Felix's body. Felix's body has several tiny, tiny, almost, you know, very almost completely hidden marks all around his body and has been completely drained of blood. Not only that, he has no lungs. His lungs have been removed without an incision, it appears. And then lastly, with a good, well-timed forensics roll, Jack discovered a tiny hole, like a puncture wound, behind his ear that apparently went all the way through the skull, through where the skull is thin, into the brain right near Felix's motor cortex, which would control his ability to move his body. I am interested to hear, and that's where we left off. Oh, and lastly, you guys convinced Dr. Smith here to give you Major Garrett's copy. We'll give it to Major Frank Garrett. Don't worry, we're all on the same team. We'll get that report from you. And you're going to hand it off to him. So you guys, it's about 7 o'clock at night. You guys are leaving the coroner's office, all piling back into Bill Willicott's car that he had originally rented and provided to you guys. So what are we going to do? Like, what's the plan? What's the conversation happening in the car?
I hate
Jack, we need to go drop off that report, man. You said we were going to do that.
Listen, Thorn, we won't be doing that. I'm going to hold on to this for now.
And why, Jack? Let me give you another chance. Why are we not doing that?
Thorn, we're working for the FBI. There's some things the locals do not need to know at this moment.
Fine, Jack.
What's going through Bert's lizard brain as this is going on, as these two are having this quick convo?
Damn this arid air. I need my Mark Strong back at the hotel in another layer. What is up with that body?
Okay.
Cuts so clean.
Joe, I don't want to... do you think, just to be fair, do you think we should have rolled for sanity for seeing those strange incisions?
No, I... I'm gonna say no.
We already rolled for seeing his dead body.
You already rolled for seeing his body. This is a controlled situation. You were told ahead of, like, you kind of knew what to expect. Jack is an anthropologist. He's seen typically probably bones and stuff like that. You know, Bert's seen the insides of people all the time. you know, and then Thorne has, you know, probably seen, you know, especially in his workings in Central America, has, you know, probably seen some pretty nasty stuff. You know, so, like, I'm going to say, because you guys had already rolled it, that's why I decided not to have you do that. I think if you hit another one or two of those, like, I might have you do one.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Jack, you know what? I agree we should hold on to these things, but only partly because we should hold on to this and maybe keep the authorities within our control, but also, I don't know if that guy was actually worth anything. Even you picked up something that he should have easily seen, surely.
Even
just... Well, Thorn, let me stop you there. I am a doctor.
Are you?
I didn't
really?
Just go to...
And Bart seems genuinely surprised.
That's an academic doctor,
all
right?
All this time?
I have a PhD.
So you're a PhD doctor?
Of a doctor.
What did you study, Thorn? Poli-sci at your community college?
Burn.
Well, if I had to tell you what I studied, Jack, you wouldn't believe me. South America's a rough place.
Where is the car going?
I'm going to be honest with you, Thor. It's
a song.
I hate this place, this game, this prison.
The smell. The smells what gets to me. Matrix reference for anyone.
All right.
We are heading.
We're going back
where?
To the. I guess we're going back to the hotel, right? It's dark,
yeah,
at
it's
this
late.
Point. We're not going to be.
Yeah.
Different hotel, though, or the same hotel? What was
Jack?
Jack?
There's probably not many options.
I mean, I wouldn't care, but. Jack wouldn't care either way.
Okay.
Yeah. So we go back to the motel, start doing our evening routines, some of whose take longer than others.
We're not going to say who.
Do we phone Hobson?
Yes, there is an expectation to call Agent Hobson in Phoenix.
Does someone else want to give him a call? Is that why you asked Thorne? Would you like to talk to him instead of...
No, I don't know if he knows about him.
Okay, well, Jack will call him.
Okay.
Thorne's just doing things by the book. That's why he's being methodical.
Who is?
Thorne.
Hmm.
Okay, so you get on the horn. He'd given you his personal, like, his home number. You maybe at first picks up, you know, you hear a woman, you know, woman's voice, hello, you know, you hear's like some kids. You ask for Patrick Hobson, you know, you tell him this is, you know, this is work, business, or whatever, and pretty quickly he comes to the door, or he comes to the phone. He's like, okay, hold on a second. And you hear like the sound of a door closing. You know, it sounds like he has walked outside, out of his home. He's like, is this Dr. Dorner?
This is, just giving the report for the day, and Jack will, the only thing, he'll tell him everything. He'll tell him about, obviously leave out how we interrogated the, Ricky Bates boy, but tell him Ricky's story. He'll be honest about that. The only thing he's gonna hide is some of the weird things in the optometry report.
You mean autopsy?
Yeah, autopsy.
He's got glaucoma.
Cataracts. So many cataracts.
I've never seen such cataracts. So he tells you, he's like, all right, he's like, so what was the cause of death for the Royos kid?
For the Royos?
I don't think I actually told you specifically. The cause of death for him was exsanguination. That he died from blood loss.
Blood loss.
He had some puncture wounds that seemed to bled out prior to being buried out in the middle of nowhere.
Jesus, this guy is like draining people like a butcher?
It's hard to say, but just, that seems to be the case with him.
Jesus Christ, okay. Alright, this Bates kid, you think this is... God damn it. Look, I know you're not an agent, Dr. Dorner. Like, you think if you run this down, this mind thing, like, can you run this down for me?
I believe we can. We have the location, and if we get into any trouble, we'll obviously contact you or the local authorities.
Contact Colorado's down there.
Bert will nudge Jack and whisper in his ear, body armor.
If it wouldn't be too much trouble, is there a local pickup spot or facility that we could get a little bit more protection? I don't believe we'll run into anything, but it would be nice to have the Kevlar vest, grenades.
Roll me a persuade. I will. So, okay, how about this? Did you, when you told him the story about what happened from Ricky Bates, did you tell him the whole story of they got there and there's like a guy shooting at them?
Yeah.
You're like, I would really feel a lot more comfortable if you just went out there with Colorados and them. I can contact the local PD in Globe. They can probably give you a few, you know, some bodies, so some vests.
Do they have any of those V-neck ones? The ones that come up and protect your motor cortex?
They come all the way up around your ears to protect
your
motor
cortex. Yeah, like a Steve Jobs kind of body vest.
Yeah. Mm. It's like... So roll me like a persuade or something to see how this goes with him. He wants to... I'm going to ignore what John said because it was silly.
36 under 50.
Also, it was
this
silly.
Is a very serious podcast, obviously.
No V-neck.
He's like, yeah, so he's like, listen, I would really prefer, if you think that this guy is armed and shooting at, if whoever this is shooting at kids, I'd really prefer you go out there with Colorados. You do what you think you need to do. Do not get murdered. Like, if you see something bad, get the fuck out of there.
We definitely will, sir.
Okay. I'll give Globe a call first thing in the morning. I get up at 6. I'm gonna give him a call first thing in the morning. Just tell him to give you guys some vest. You'll be fine.
Sounds good. Love you.
Not here. I'm with my family. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. So yeah, that's the word.
All right. Cool. Yeah. I mean, Jack will let him know that we can get some body armor tomorrow, and I guess go to bed.
Okay.
Jack.
Bert is.
He'll like peek out the door.
Door. Bert.
Stay the hell out of my sleep library. Jack. He shuts the door.
Jack.
Good night, tomboy. Anyway.
okay.
Sorry, Bert going to say something.
That's a reference to something that. If you
know. Yeah, I wonder how many listeners are going to.
I have no idea what that is a reference.
Sorry, it's John Boy, not Tomboy. Good night, John Boy. Anyway. You guys go to sleep. Go ahead and hit your buttons to reset your failures and whatnot. If you are missing out on any wisdom damage, or not wisdom damage, willpower points, roll a d6 and get those points back for the any of you who were missing some of it. Oh, missing Electric Monad got it.
4.
Okay.
So I just had
you guys.
Four.
You guys wake up in the morning. Bert.
What about hit points? Why am I down on hit points?
Yeah, what about hit points?
Why are you down on hit points? You shouldn't be down on hit points.
I know, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm also down on hit points.
Weird.
Be up. Don't do that. Don't be down. Be up.
Interesting.
So we're just going to hand wave that?
Yeah,
we didn't get in combat. Reason.
You guys didn't do anything. Were you guys like fighting in the night? Like Bert and Jack just like out of
We just got into it. Yeah, I don't see anything.
Are you ready? Yeah, so you guys wake up when Bert, you wake up, or maybe about the times, I imagine Bert gets up quite early, does 100 push-ups and 200 sit-ups. And you know, you're doing your whole routine.
Oh, you know it.
And
moisturizer, skincare.
And as you're going down, you there's someone at the front desk. You're going down to the little breakfast there, and one of the people at the front desk, Mr. Morris, I have something for you. It is a small package. It's like it looks like it was overnighted. You know, and it is
wonderful.
It has a VHS in it.
And I'll take it. And where would I go to actually watch? Well, I guess surely the motel rooms have like.
It would have VCR.
Thank you. Jesus, God, I forgot the word for it. Oh my.
That's how you know you're not.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
By whatever means, we'll say that there is probably like a. I don't know if there are VCRs in the TVs. They're definitely they have like a little meeting room. Like a little conference room. Yeah, that you could pop into.
I think first. No. I think I would watch it alone. I don't think I would get the other two first.
Okay.
So yeah, go to the conference room, lock the door, shut all the blinds, sit in the dark.
Like 2 inches sit from down the my screen. Fly. Like just like so close to the screen. You pop it in and it's obviously very short. It's that very short clip you sent. They mm-hmm. appear to have cut everything out. So it's, you know, it's like a whole VHS for like 10 seconds of video. I don't have another video asset up for you.
I'm just thinking.
What?
You pop it in, and it's like the Cinemax. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Mortal Kombat. The wrong VHS.
They just sent you the wrong thing.
It's like, it used to be a recorded version of Playmate of the Apes. Played on Cinemax
at night. It's like a video of Cooper. Like and like he's wearing a bathrobe and he turns on Goodbye Horses.
Oh no.
Okay, no.
Dare that bastard. That's my favorite song.
You turn on
kill him one of these.
Turn on. I don't have another asset, but let's think about or you know, look at the video that you had from before. that GIF that we had here. Actually, let me put it up here for those. For those watching. So this is what we see here. It's a video. The version you have is so much sharper, and like you have no idea how they could have possibly done this. This is classic CSI Enhance kind of stuff. You see a much, much clearer version of a man, looks like a white guy, who approaches Royos at the gas station and points and does something. But you see now there's something that you're able to make out. One, or the two things. One, you can absolutely make out everything about this man's face. You think that this is definitely, there's a section where he's walking toward the counter where you feel like this is clear enough. You could get a pretty decent picture of this, and maybe stuffed down in the envelope are like some still photos of the face, of the man's face, right? There's okay. a side shot and this kind of straightforward shot. You catch something else, and there is a note written in on the front of the VHS when you open it. It says, check out his belt.
Okay.
With a little heart, and it says Cooper.
Wait. We'll put a pin in that. All right, go on.
You look at his belt and you see that there's something that catches your eye for just a moment. It's not a belt buckle, like there's something on his belt, and there's a moment, it's like it's not in the middle of his belt, it's off to the side, but he's got something shiny and gold on his belt, something that you would probably recognize. Any guesses?
Shiny and gold.
So you say it's valuable.
What? That's not what I was getting at. Like, he's got something clipped to his belt. You think it's a badge?
Oh, he's a bat. Yeah, badge.
Oh, that's not real gold.
You know what I meant. You think he has a badge as he approaches the counter, and whatever he says to Royos, he says something to Royos, and then they go outside. What does Bert think when he sees this?
First thoughts, is the image of the badge clear enough to distinguish like the finer details? Could I compare?
I think if you
I'm not looking for a name or anything. I'm looking for the style of the badge to figure out which judition?
Like
what am I looking for?
Jurisdiction,
thank you. Which jurisdiction this officer would be from?
It would be, you would need something to compare it to. Because different departments, different states, different federal agencies all have different styles of badges. Some go with a star, some go with a shield, some go with whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, based on, or either the next time I see, like, you know, the tribal law or like the county law.
Oh, okay.
Like, could I just?
I will tell you this: you do not think it matches up exactly with either the local law enforcement, like the Globe PD. It does not look like Globe tribal, PD. And it does not look like the Major Garrett's, the Arizona Highway Patrol. It does not look like any of these.
Wow. Okay. So this is like potentially FBI or CIA or something.
Something. So yeah, so about that time someone flips on the light. Oh, sorry, I didn't see anyone's in here.
I zip my fly back up.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'll just be leaving now.
You take your tape, I assume.
Yeah. And I definitely want to show Jack and Thorne this.
Okay. We can hand wave that the bit of you getting back in there. And showing this. So you guys at this point have seen this video, and Bert has been able to point this out to you.
Something peculiar about this badge.
Do you recognize it?
The local jurisdiction.
Let me make a call real quick. Do I have Mr. Green's number?
You do have Mr. Green's pager number. He told you to contact him, specifically to contact him if either Thorne or Bert are going to go to the authorities and blab. That is what he told you the number is for. So that doesn't mean you can't contact him still. Use your resources if you want to.
I want to ask him about this badge person.
Let's see if... would Thorn perhaps luckily recognize this badge?
Nah.
Not that smart.
It's not a luck thing.
Fine.
It ain't a luck thing.
What about smarts?
Ain't really a smarts thing. You can't just be smart enough to know things that
what
you don't
law?
Know.
What about law?
Nah.
Okay, I'm going
to
go through everyone.
If you guys want to... Here's the thing, like, if you want to... But now you have a face and you have a badge. And if you guys could recognize the badge compared to compared to something, mm-hmm. other people might be able to as well.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But it gets into this thing that both Brad and Jean were talking about, which is like, do we want to put this out there? Right? Do we want to give it to the news? Do we give it to other people? Especially for Jack's purposes. Want to kind of hoard evidence, right? You guys do what you need to do.
Let me make a call real quick.
Jack.
And I'll...
Yes. Well, I was about to go on a diatribe, but yeah, please make your call, Jack. I'll sit here patiently, if that's all right with you.
Thorn will watch Bert intently.
Get some more sleep. Take a cat nap. And I'll call Mr. Green. And I'll basically tell him if he picks up.
You'll send him a page, and then if you send him a page and tell him to like give him like the number for like the front desk or something, you get a call back within about 10 minutes. Like, it's pretty quick.
I'll say, yes, this is Jack Dorner.
You hear the sound of like some hustle and bustle. It sounds like he is in a workplace. He's like, yeah, is everything okay? Do I need to send someone to fix anything?
Well, there's we got a closer look at the suspect, and he's got a authority's badge. Do you have any other person in this area that?
No. We've got one more. Listen, I've got someone who can be on the ground there with you. She can't be close to it, but she can hover under some other auspices if you want to use her, okay?
I think that'd be needed, but there's one more thing. Something about this Felix's body. I'll be honest, I don't know how long I can keep Thorpe and Morris outside the loop, if you know what I mean.
It's not your job to decide when people come into the loop, Dr. Dorner, okay? That's our job.
But what I'm saying is it's more dangerous. They got some crazy-ass ideas. They want to... It might be potentially more dangerous to keep them outside than... I mean, hell, I'm not even in the loop. I don't know what's going on, but I know we're not... Can't let certain information spread.
Listen, just be the voice of reason, okay? This Felix guy, he's drained of blood. His organs removed, okay? Be the voice of reason. Just because no one's done it before doesn't mean it can't be done, okay? Ritual sacrifice is a thing that serial killers do, okay? Be the voice of reason.
Understood.
All right. Expect a call from Miss Green.
Okay.
I got it. You hear like someone talk to him. He's like, I gotta go. Yeah. Click. You know, mm-hmm. The phone goes dead.
All right.
And
still there? Okay. I'm in. We might have some more help coming, fellas. That was someone. They can help us out a bit, but in the meantime, where do you suppose we should go? Straight to the mine or to the campsite?
Well, there's potentially a live victim at the mine. The campsite is a forensic situation.
I say we go towards the mine if we can. I can't, in good conscience, leave Leslie there, even though we know what might have happened to her inevitably.
Again, with the
should we contact the authorities?
No,
Dorn.
We are the authorities. This.
Under normal circumstances, yesterday I'd say we definitely need some backup, but it seems like we found some kind of protection for ourselves. I'm just surprised, Bert, that you're not more interested in the Dieter and Van Olsen, Vera Van Olsen story at the campsite, but if you really want us to get to the mine, we can get to the mine.
Oh, I did forget that I was obsessed with the rich Dane. Never mind, let's go to the campsite.
Dutchman.
Sorry, Dutchman. Oh, wait, yeah. He's from... Sorry, I said he was from
Denmark. He's from Denmark.
No, no. John is right. He's from the Netherlands.
Whoever typed this up, not competent. Not him. It was Fred. It's probably Fred.
It's fucking Fred.
I see two typos.
And can we add... so we can pick up Kevlar?
Yeah, you can swing by Globe PD, like the local PD. Yeah, like you get met by like a desk sergeant or something, you know, who's like, yeah, you know, we got a call. We'll get you.
Fine.
You know, they just kind of give you, they give you three sets. They don't assume you already have one. They give you three Kevlar vests, and those are the ones that give you just the really basic ones that give you three armor, essentially.
Gotcha.
Do you have any knives?
No. No, we're cops. Why?
How about fire axes?
Absolutely not. That's firefighters. This is a police station.
What exactly do you do?
You can go.
Okay. I'll see myself out.
I don't think Jack will really care if we go to either one, so he'll leave it to someone else.
Right.
Whichever's closest, maybe, which is the campsite.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are heading to the campsite.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So,
near
you guys...
San Lake, right? Near San Carlos.
San Carlos.
Lake.
Yep. You guys know that the San Carlos Lake, there is like a national park, you know, here, that is well known. I mean, this area right around the lake is beautiful and, you know, more lush than other places. Obviously, there's no water other places. It's the convergence of where two rivers come together. There's like a man-made dam here, a hydroelectric dam. And you guys drive up. There's like maybe like a little ranger station or something there, and you know maybe they're. You know, we're going to hand wave the bit where you explain that you're there as part of the investigation and stuff like that. They say, oh, yeah, those guys went missing from, like, down here, you know, on, you know, campsite, you know, 14 or something like that, right? You know, they tell you where they go missing from. Yeah.
Okay.
And there is the area where they go missing. You pull up and you see that there is... it's a decently nice little campsite. You know, you see families and RVs and some tents and stuff like that. They have a boat ramp, swimming areas. It's decently busy. One thing you do notice as you're going to the site is that this site is like way, way off on the end of one side, right? It's like, you know, that there are two ways that you can go one way around the lake or the other way to sites. You like take a left, and this one is damn near all the way at the end. Like, so it is immediately, it's like, remote, you know, further away from other sites makes sense. As you pull up, again, there is, it's very clear that down on this side that people have their boats tied off there at the campsites, and that people will probably go out on the lake and then come back to their campsites. You see several fishermen out on the lake fishing and whatnot. But it's a beautiful day. Like at this point in time, it's probably like 10 o'clock in the morning. It hasn't gotten crazy, crazy hot. The mosquitoes are a bit intense. But beyond that, it's actually a quite a nice day. Besides the fact it's already 90 degrees. So, yeah. Okay. So, and you see that down there at this like campsite 14, you see that there is like police tape across to make sure no one like pulls into the site, although there's really not much to be seen.
They took their camper.
You see that the entire camp is still there. Like, there is a camp still set up. But there is no, like, you see, like, a pulled up into the camp. You see, like, two tents, cooler, all of that sitting there. And pulled off to one side is a boat trailer with a boat on it.
Okay. Well, I will do good old search around the campsite.
Jesus, your search is a 93.
It's very good. He's very, very good at that. This is one trick that a handler's hate. As you're looking around, this is, and so let's keep in mind when these guys were reported missing. Let me take a look over here. Let me get the. When were they reported missing? They were supposed to have gone missing between the 20th and the 24th. These guys are some of the longest have been missing, next to Felix Royos.
Gotcha.
You're looking around, like, you open the cooler, stinks to high heaven. There's some fish in there that, you know, they probably were going to eat that night, and some other assorted food. Maybe some cans that were beer cans that were supposed to be in ice. The ice is long melted. You find all of the effects that you would kind of expect of two men on a fishing trip. Shaving kit, tackle, poles and stuff like that, changes of clothes. And as you're going through everything, what you don't find are, and you know these guys went missing, you do not find wallets. You do not find keys. And maybe you don't find any shoes either. Like, you can find extra change of clothes, but you can't find shoes. So this leads you to believe that, you know, these people left this place. Who knows where they are, but you cannot. And looking around, there is no vehicle. And you know that their vehicle was missing.
Okay. And there's no tire marks or. So they obviously drove somewhere, or their car was driven somewhere.
I would say that there are tire marks. There's, you can see that vehicles have gone in and out of this campsite. Had a vehicle.
Gotcha.
I'm curious about this boat. I think there's something about this boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jack, come here. And he grabs his head and swims it towards the boat. Do your thing, Jack.
That's unnecessary. Don't touch my face.
Right. Sorry. Boundaries.
Yeah, if you go look at the boat, you know, particularly, you find that everything looks to have been pretty much stowed.
This is a boat they are renting?
This is probably their own boat. It's probably a personal boat.
Okay.
Looks like everything has been stowed, and between the fact that the boat is on the trailer and there are fish in the cooler, you think...
Oh, sorry.
The boat's on a trailer. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So, but the car is missing that the trailer would attach to.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you want me to roll? Search.
Wait,
you?
What
do you want me to roll?
I'll roll your search in with the other one. Like, you just get the impression that these guys were getting ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were done fishing. You know, they had gotten their boat ready and were, you know, going to cook whatever night they went missing.
Why would you detach the trailer from the boat? Unless you wanted to, I don't know. Especially with a boat already on it, they had to back it into the water to get the boat. Then you unattach the trailer.
If they were planning on cooking that night, maybe they needed ingredients. Where is the closest grocery store? Closest rest stop?
There might be a little rest stop, a little gas station with all sorts of camping stuff, like right up the road.
So in their stuff, I just find clothes. I don't find anything else.
Yeah, you don't find wallet, shoes, or keys. You know, so the stuff that you'd keep on your person is all gone.
I mean, should we search around the...
Thorn's going to put up a finger and be like, shh, 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 shh. And he'll try and listen. Going to hear crickets and the kind of wilderness. But he's at the same time going to roll an alertness to see if I was spying on anyone in this exact vantage point, where would I be?
Would you use... I don't know if you'd use an alertness for that.
What would I use for knowing where to spy on somebody from exactly this place?
Criminology, perhaps?
Criminology.
Survival?
Give me a criminology, a survival, or a stealth.
I will roll a criminology.
I got 32. No,
well.
No need. Save yours. Save yours. You're good. Save it for the next
what
one.
What if I crit?
Got you.
I got a 7 under 60. I beat you.
Well, you can
tell
think
me what
of
I see.
So
doesn't.
It's me. It's me. I thought of the smart idea.
You guys are okay. So you.
Done.
He like touches the ground.
You guys are
like...
both looking at it.
And he points in a direction.
Over here. Well, there is like maybe, and again, this is way, way out towards the end of, you know, where the camps are, like maybe like the second to last one. And you get up and you do see that there is like maybe like a rocky outcropping up, like up on a little kind of cliff. You know, it's like it's not impassable. I mean, you could climb up there and look. But you know, but the both of you have this instinct that like if I were gonna watch this place, I would watch it from up here.
Yep. Go check it out.
Yeah. Okay. You make your way up, and you know, there is a place where, like, and this is where, again, like, you two, like, you're not necessarily trackers, right? Like, I don't know if you have that skill set, necessarily.
What would be a track of survival?
Track would traditionally be survival. I will permit an alertness at minus 20.
Okay, I'll take it.
Oh, shit.
We are good.
Thorn, you find...
63.
You find an area where you think that you're like... You could, like, lay up, kind of like... And as you're looking, it looks like someone might have, like, laid on their belly.
Mm-hmm.
On this spot. And you can find just the smallest of little inklings of maybe some... In some of the softer sand. Some footprints. It looks like someone had come up over the top of this little cliffy area and then down to observe down further. And from here, you can very clearly see both this site and a site about 3 down, right? And you look back down the path where the tracks go off of, you can see that it circles, that it kind of circles back down to the access road to get here. And you can see that there is... But as you're looking, you see there was another campsite, and you're like, I don't know. Like, it makes you wonder. You're like, you're kind of thinking, even though this is all the way at the end, there's this campsite. It's like 2 campsites down where it looks like there is a big, one of those round silver campers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones I'm talking about, like the old school ones, that's pulled up there. And maybe as you're doing this, you see an old man and an old woman, like, kind of like out there, kind of like, making breakfast or something, or making lunch or something. You know, it's a little later now. And you think, but you definitely, you're like, I think they might have been observed from here. These guys, these two guys.
Maybe would have seen something.
Yeah, that Ed Storles and Chris Martin.
Thorn will kind of beckon the other two over, and he'll kind of point at the ground. And be like, don't you see? Do you see it? And they'll probably both be like, whoa, that's just ground. And be like, no, there's something more.
He licks the ground again.
So, to clarify, this rocky outcropping, from this vantage point, you can see both the camp of Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin and the Dieter and Vera Van Olsen.
No, Dieter Van Olsen never made it up here as far as
you know. They're another thing. They're just missing on the highway.
Yeah. Oh god!
But I got the arrow
in the wrong place. I'm sorry.
I thought the Dutch people went to this campsite.
They had a reservation.
But the people that went missing at the campsite are Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin.
Correct. Okay. Pardon me if that was unclear. But you do see there is a Winnebago, or not a Winnebago, is that what they're called? A Winnebago? Whatever it is. You see a camper with an older couple at it.
Okay.
Like two campsites down.
Maybe they come here often. Should we ask them about this vantage point? Or
we should definitely go see if they saw anything. Let's go ask them right now.
So, who are the fishermen that we were just investigating?
Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm up to speed.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was also very confused. Okay. Let's go ask them some questions. I love asking people questions.
So good at it.
So good at it.
Okay, you come down from the little cliff there and you approach this other campsite, like campsite 12, right? You walk up, and as you do, the older woman seems to see you and says something to the man that's there, and they are both all smiles, and seemingly very friendly. It's like,
well, hi, I'm Pam. I'm Pam. This is my husband, Pat. Say hi, Pat. He's like, hello, youngsters. You know, they're like in their like 70s. What you doing this far out here and in that suit?
You know, because you guys are all like still wearing your like, you're not obviously not here to recreate.
Sir, ma'am,
what can we do for you?
We are investigating a series of disappearances, and I don't want to worry you at all. There's nothing to worry about, but we did see that you've got some beautiful, beautiful camper van here. Maybe you've been here a few days. Was just wondering if you saw anything around that direction, that campsite, and that outcropping over there. Anything strange? Any strange people come through these parts?
You know, and they're like, well, you know, we saw those two over there. Those two men, they still haven't been found.
We're still looking for them.
And you know, Pat, he introduced himself as Pat and Pam Duarte. And Pat, he's like, what a shame. Can't even be safe, you know. It's a shame what the world has come to these days. He's kind of waxing poetic, you know. And Pam's like, Pat, that's not what they need, you know. And he says, like, well, the last time we saw them was more than a week ago. What day was that? And, you know, they kind of hem and haul back and forth, this, like, old couple. He's like, well, I think that was the day we went to go see Melissa and them. They're like, Pam turns to you. Our daughter Melissa lives in Globe, and we come to visit them. We always stay at the campsite when we're here. And the kids, they love coming to the lake, you know. And we bring the grandkids out and give Melissa and Dan a little time.
Mighty fine. Mighty fine.
Did you happen to... I was told that Ed and Chris come out here they've come out here a couple times, you know. And did you know them personally or talk to them?
Oh, no, we're not from around here. We just come out here about twice a year to see Melissa and the grandkids. And didn't know those guys. They were really fine gentlemen. You know, they're really helpful. Helped Pat. Help, Pat! Get the boat when the boat came unmoored. Isn't that right, Pat? And Pat's like, he's all embarrassed. He's like, oh yeah, I didn't tie the boat off well. And they were kind enough to. He's like, yeah, and they were so nice. They were helping that. You know, and there was that couple that they were helping with their car. You know, they just seem like really helpful guys.
Which couple? Could you give us a little more details about this couple they were helping?
And would you say this was between the 20th and 24th of July?
Well, yeah, it was that last time. The last time we saw them, we told the police. As we were heading out to Globe. We were going to have lunch with Melissa and the boys. And what day was that, Pat? Well, you know, I think it was blah, 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 blah. You know, there's like, I think it was on the 22nd. You know, the 22nd. Okay, yeah, it's on the 22nd. We went out to lunch because we had the most lovely lunch. They had this little sandwich joint where they have roast beef.
Ma'am, the couple that... they were helping. Could you give us some details? Did you see any roast beef that they were carrying?
No, I should have stopped and asked.
What did they look like, that couple?
Oh, you know, nice couple. Looked like they were in their 30s or so. White couple in this, like, maroon car.
Was one of them carrying a badge?
Oh, I didn't see that. What do you think, Pat? No, I don't think I saw anything. They had the hood up on the car. It looked like they were having some type of trouble. And we left about 9 in the morning, you know, to go to go over to Globe. And they, but these two guys down the way, Chris and Martin, they were stopped there. It looked like they were giving them a jump.
And that car, would you say, do you all know anything about cars? Would you say
Pat the make? Knows a lot about cars.
Pat, what kind of car was it?
Oh, it was a Ford. It was
Ford? Ford Taurus?
Ooh, probably, yeah.
I hear they're pretty common out here at the moment.
Really?
Yeah,
reliable.
Really reliable.
That was
an older Ford. Older Taurus, but
that's what Felix was driving, right?
Yeah. Or that was, yeah. That was the Ford Taurus.
Yeah, drove off in his own car, Ford Taurus, from the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was a couple? It was two, a man and a woman, or two men?
Man and a woman, yeah.
Has she described the couple yet? Age, race, nationality?
Yeah, white couple, 30s, a blonde woman, and a guy with real short cut hair.
Okay, I thought you said that already, but well, the Dutch couple they're like 60s,
right?
And there's no other couple that I'm aware of.
Yeah, nope. So it sounds like this is some new girl we've never heard of, and possibly the person that's the killer that we saw on the gas station
cam. She was just sat in the car, you know, while the guy was out there. I mean, we just drove past, you know. We would have stopped. And, well, of course, we would have stopped and helped if they weren't already being helped, you know. So, but you know, we just went ahead and drove on past.
And then when you came back, they were gone, or that was you were leaving the campsite that day.
Yeah, we came back late afternoon, about 4 or 5 o'clock, and after that, we didn't see any more of the guys down there, Chris and Martin. Car was gone. We didn't think anything about it. This is our last day here, you know, so I just hope they find them. You know, all their stuff down there still just set up like they left it. It's kind of spooky.
Did they leave?
I want to roll a human on them, this older couple.
Okay.
Failure.
You got nothing.
Did you see them leave?
No. Last time we saw them is when they were helping that couple with their car.
And I mentioned that rocky outcropping over there. Did you see anybody maybe hanging out, going for a walk up in that direction?
I don't think so, Pat. And he's like, oh, there's people walking around all the time. It's, you know, it's a campsite. People go hiking and stuff. I don't know.
Do they seem like they're pretty mobile? No walking sticks?
These two?
Caned? Yeah.
Eh, maybe Pam has a walking stick, you know, or something like that.
Well, no. Okay. Some information.
Do you mind if we take a bit of a look around your campsite as well? We just want to see if there's anything that maybe seems a little off.
I don't know if that's necessary. Are you police?
We are.
Yeah, we are.
You got a badge or anything?
Don't we have Willicott's badge?
You do have Willicott's badge?
Yeah. Yeah, right here.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I mean, you can look around. I mean, there's nothing here. That's...
We appreciate it.
We won't be here too long. Okay, I'll do a search around their campsite.
Yeah, I also just want to take a look around.
This.
This.
You find nothing unusual. There is nothing that leads you to believe that these two are anything other than a couple who spends a lot of time at campsites while they're visiting their grandkids.
Likely story, Joe. I don't trust you. I don't believe you.
Yeah, it was right down there. It was like, you know, there was like right around the curb there is where they were stopped. I can't believe it's the last time we saw them. I hope we weren't the last people to see them alive. Oh, goodness, Pat. Well, what if we were the last one to see them alive?
Well, you two be safe. We got a handle on the situation. I say we go back up to the lookout and follow that trail back. Because you said the trail also leads back to the front of the...
Yeah, like there's like a little trail like to the access road, yeah.
I say we walk that trail once, fellas, and see if anything comes from that.
That makes sense. One last question for you, Pat, Pam. Do any of you like walking around? Do you pick mushrooms by any chance?
No.
Oh, so you don't know much about the soil or ground or where you're walking? You just like camping out here?
No, yeah, we like camping. Not sure what you're getting at.
You just enjoy your camping.
Bye.
So you just like camping. You really don't know anything else, huh?
You don't know anything about
you
dirt.
You don't know shit except
you're just
campers. Camping.
You don't know anything about dirt. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, I think we should go back and follow that trail from the rocky outcropping.
Okay, you go back, you kind of go up this steep slope to get where, you know, to get to where you saw this observation point, and you follow it back. And you follow it back, and you come to a bit of a kind of crook in this access road. And this is still pretty far out here, and it is kind of around the bend, like where Pam and Pat were telling you they had seen the car, right? And as you get there, you find there is, and again, this area has a little more greenery than most places, and maybe in some low spaces right next to the water is a little wet, right? A little swampy. And you find an area where you can see that it looks like somebody might have gotten their car just like a little bit stuck, like kind of pulled off into the grass a little bit. You know, like you're trying to get out of wet grass or wet ground and you spin the tires a little bit. You find a spot like right there, and it's right next to a bit where this little kind of off, what would you call that? Like a, not an estuary, that's not the word for it. Like a little part where the lake kind of pools out, but it's like, again, it's pretty swampy.
Just like
a little bit of the lake that kind of abuts right up against it, which is why it's kind of wet. And you find this spot where it looks like a car was pulled off the road. You don't know if this is where someone pulled off to access this little trail. You don't know if it's, or maybe it's where this car that Chris and Martin were at. You're not sure. But there definitely was like a little, you can see, find a place where it's like a little, looks like there was a car pulled off.
Jack kind of rolls up his pants and tries to walk closer.
I don't think you'd have to.
That was swampy. I don't want to get my pants dirty. Oh.
I thought you were walking like off into the water.
No, I'm walking up to where these tire marks are.
Okay. Yeah, you look at them and it's like, and they are... You can roll me a forensics and see if you do something really snazzy here. Tell me anything about this car. Like, you're going to have to really impress me.
21 under 42. This.
Regular size car tires, probably in keeping with a typical sedan. Not truck tires, you know, or anything. And maybe looking at this area, you know what? Actually, I'll give it to you. You did a forensics at this spot. You find not just this place where it looks like a car was pulled off and then pulled back onto the road. You also find tracks, other tire tracks, that look to be the tire tracks for a truck. But these tire tracks are not just pulled off the side of the road. These tire tracks are actually pointed toward the water.
You see this, fellas, maybe this was the men's actual car. And can we follow those?
It goes off like right into this like low swampy like muddy area. Like, and when I say it, like it goes off into the water.
Does this look like a good place to hide a body?
That's what I'm wondering. Well, I want to. So I can't get any closer to see if I can see the car in the water, the truck or whatever this is.
You can go up on that rocky outcropping and kind of look back the other direction. And I would say that as Jack kind of climbs up this little trail a little bit and looks down through this swampy, murky water, still water. The sun is blaring down. It's almost 11 o'clock in the morning now. Hot, hot blaring down. Jack, you look down into the water from this elevated position, and you can clearly make out, in a way that could not be done when down to lower elevation, looking down on it, you can clearly make out the tailgate of a blue truck.
God damn.
Damn. Jack, well, let everyone know. We're going to need Colorados. We're going to have to get this truck out of here.
Let's just make sure those two don't leave just yet until the police get here.
Well, that
the old couple?
Yeah.
The campers?
Yes.
You are on the access road, so they'd have to go some crazy way. So, so what are you guys doing then? Are you guys going to
Jack
dive down,
will be
hold
like,
your breath,
no,
and open these things
Jack
yourself?
Jack will call Colorado, if everyone's cool with that, to tell them we need to, we have a car in the lake and we need to, you know, a crane, not a crane, but a tow truck
like
or something.
Like a tow truck, yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Over the next 2 hours, 2-3 hours, Colorados arrive. You guys make it back out. You like go to the ranger station. You tell them they need to call Colorados. You know, you call the station. They radio him. He comes out. He stands and he goes up to Jack to where you were looking down. He's like, God damn it. Well, all right, let's get this going. We're gonna get the... God, I hope there aren't bodies in there.
Colorados, did your boys come through here and do their work and the forensics for that missing... for those missing boys?
They did. They did look in the water out by the actual campsite. You know, they figured the truck could have gone off in there, but no one thought to look back here on this access road. Damn it. Alright. You guys get a tow truck. They bring a tow truck out. Someone goes down there. It's not, like, deep enough. They need, like, a scuba diver or something. Mm-hmm. But basically, they, like, you know, the tow truck. They're, like, two tow truck operators, and they do rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to go in the water and hook the cable to this thing. And they get off in this murky water. They pull it up, and you see a truck. It has not been there that long. They pull this truck out, and Colorados is the first one to step there. He's like, oh, stay here. He walks up there. You know, the truck is pulled up onto the concrete. There's police cars all around. The coroner's office is already there, like the state coroner's office. Colorados goes up there, and he's, like, looking through the window. It's a bit dirty. And he's like, bodies. Two of them.
Description?
You guys watch here over the next hour or so as they begin to pull out the bodies themselves. They are two white men, who fit the age and descriptions that you received of Chris and Martin.
Jack wants to look and see. I mean, I'm gonna let them do their things, but can I see an indention, sort of, in the back
you're
of
like,
your head?
You're
if I go specifically for
go
that.
There. Okay. Yeah. When they pull the bodies out, most of the attention goes to the bodies themselves, you know, and so Jack goes over there. And Jack, you know, the coroner, they're laying them out, you know, on these, like, tarps, you know, they're like laying them out initially and taking pictures. And the coroner's like, oh, Fred Smith's like, Jack, I'm glad you're here. Come here.
Oh.
Come here.
Good to see you, Fred. What do we got?
He turns Chris Stolz's head to the side, and you see that behind his ear is a similar puncture mark. He's like, and look, and he like, you know, and the bodies are bloated, you know, bloated
right.
From being in water and stuff and squishy. He's like, but look here, You see the wounds? Same thing.
God damn it.
He'll let Thorne and Bert know.
Well, and the bodies were in the cab or in the bed?
They're in the cab.
In the cab.
Well, this is officially the same guy. This is a serial killer.
How do you know it's a serial killer, and how do you know he's a guy, my guy?
It's the man from the video. It has to be. The hat with a badge.
Seems like a bit of a stretch, but maybe. Maybe. And what do you make of the blonde lady? I'm sorry. If we're looking at every single corner, if we're leaving no rock unturned, we've got a lot more to do than to just jump to conclusions here.
We do need to know. The lady is a new piece of the puzzle. They said it was a blonde lady, right?
Yep.
Same, in her mid-30s. Hmm. Well, Fred, hate to ask you to do an overnight, but first thing in the morning, we'd like to get your full assessment of this.
Oh no, I'm gonna look. I'm taking these right back. Taking these back, and he's like, and you know, you say that as he's like down on his haunches, and he's like, oh fuck, and he goes and starts unbuttoning Martin Stoltz's shirt, and you see that Martin Stoltz has a wound on the bottom of his rib cage that runs from basically one side to the other. Like he's been opened right just below his rib cage.
Mm.
He's like, two guesses on what's missing.
Liver or something else.
Or the lungs, like the last one.
Or the lungs, yeah.
Why would they cut him open this time? Why not take the lungs out through the throat? It doesn't make any sense to change your MO. It doesn't make any sense to change your MO. It doesn't make any sense.
You can't change your ritual.
He doesn't say ritual. He says MO.
As you guys are standing over these bodies, and you know, there is, and maybe there are some campers, like even like people who are like either coming down to boat on this side or some hikers or something, like a small group of people gathering. And you hear Colorado's just like, he's like, fellas, you might want to come over here.
Okay.
He's
go over
and
take a look.
He's over at the truck. He's got his flashlight in his hand. You can see he was looking through the cab of the truck. But now the flashlight is down by his side, hanging limply. And he's holding something in front of him. He's like, Jesus fucking Christ. He turns, and you see that he's holding a badge, a sopping wet badge in his hands.
Hmm.
He's like, was either one of these guys a cop? I haven't heard anything about these guys being cops.
Is that, do we recognize
and
the
to
badge?
Our knowledge.
Yeah, does the badge look like the badge in the video?
It does.
What's it say?
Gimme dad.
He holds up a finger to you, like, I'm not giving it to you, but he holds it out for you to see. And you see, clear as day, Texas State Highway Patrol.
Huh.
Texas?
He's like, I think the guy doing this is a cop.
Jesus.
He pulls out an evidence bag and drops it down in there and zips it up. Fuck me. Garrett is not gonna be pleased. One of his own. Damn it, I bet he's gonna fucking cover this up.
Garrett's over, like, guys. Is over the Texas state as well? Or just no. Because it's Highway Patrol, you think he's gonna be? Yeah.
That's what Colorados is saying. Garrett is the commander of this section of Arizona Highway Patrol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Bellish.
Well, hold up. Chief, if you are concerned that we're going to get friction with Frank, I am as concerned as you are, and maybe we need to hold on to this information just for a little while until we can do some proper investigations. We have no idea if maybe Frank could be involved in this in some way, especially if you think he might cover it up. Seems like you two had a bit of a power struggle going last we saw, and I don't want to muddy this investigation with your politics.
He narrows his eyes at you again in a way he has done. He is, Colorado's is, from what you gather, is very interested and very concerned with good police work, you know, and but you know there is some stress between him and Major Garrett. He looks at you hard for a long time. He's like, are you asking me to not report evidence that I have found at a crime scene?
No, sir, I am asking you to do your best detective work, knowing the environment that you're in.
Give me a roll. And I will say, I was going to give you a plus 20, but I'm going to give you a bonus because you touched a soft point with Colorado's, which is not trusting Garrett. But then he also is like, you're also asking him to do something that is not good, like procedural police work, right? But give me a roll.
47 under 50.
He zips it up. He looks at it. He looks down at it in the zipper.
Do you need me to hang on to that?
You can tell he's like, he's grappling internally. Like it's tearing him apart. Like, Bureau has our back, right? You guys aren't even with the Bureau. You've got my back on this. These are my people. Not these two specifically, but this is my place. I'm supposed to take care of it.
We've got your back.
He kind of like glances around and he like turns his head and hands you hands the bag out to you. You know, like he doesn't even want to see you take it. Just take it.
All right.
We appreciate this, Colorados. We'll get back to you as soon as we know something.
He gets very close to you, Thorne. He's like, you find out who this is. Remember, they belong to tribal law. They've killed an Apache and now two white men on Apache land. This belongs to us.
You got it. Trust me, Chief. You know that I understand the mechanics here. We understand how important it is. We're going to help.
And have my team look through the rest of the truck. You know, and he, like, he takes the gloves off that he had and walks away. Very well handled.
So now, fellas, now we just gotta figure out, we need to get access to the facial shots of anyone in the Texas Highway Patrol, because we have a clear shot of this man's face and see if it matches anything on their records.
What about fingerprints? Are fingerprints a thing? In 1991?
Yes.
Is there a database?
I would say so.
Established.
So here's how this actually works in the 90s. There are databases, but they're not typically connected to each other. The state in one state might have a database, but not share it with the next state over. Or they might share it. Right? So there are databases. Yes.
Can you fingerprint something after it's been submerged for, like, a week?
Probably not.
It's based on
how good your roll is.
Depends on what?
I would say depends. Oh, okay, never mind.
God damn it, everybody just talked it on top of each other again. Depends on what?
Your roll.
Your roll, okay. Well, I mean, I'm shit at forensics, so I'm not even... Oh, yeah, I have no forensics, so we'd have to, like, send it off if we want to do that. Unless one of you guys wants to roll.
No, I don't think Thorne would do that.
I'll roll.
Are you guys gonna do this out here, or are you gonna try to go back somewhere and do something?
I mean, do y'all want to stay here?
I don't see any need to.
I will say, you have basic police evidence stuff in the back of Willicott's car.
Let's go back there and do it.
Evidence bags, fingerprint dust, that kind of thing.
Yeah, back to the motel, you mean?
No, in the car.
It's in the car.
To the car. Okay.
Yeah, let's go do that.
Go back there and do it.
I guess Jack's going to want to do that.
Okay. You guys are able to head back to the campsite because your car was back at the campsite 14 where Chris and Martin were. You know, you head back there. Roll me your forensics roll and let's see how well of a job you do. The way how well this roll goes will determine, do you know how to do this? Right? Now, okay. You are an anthropologist, correct?
Are you an archaeologist?
Oh,
well, I do have high anthropology, but also have 50. Well, I guess I have 50 archaeology as well.
I will let you roll either archaeology or forensics to do this because you are used to handling things that are delicate and you know, and trying to get as much out of them, you know, that info out of them as possible, right? This is a different challenge, so it's not exactly.
All right, I'll roll that if you want. Archaeology, it's just 50-50.
Okay.
Success, 23.
Man.
You guys can't be stopped.
Just let us do whatever.
Has anybody failed anything in this session?
You guys have done really well.
Human, I failed.
I think that what you're able to do, and keep in mind, because the stuff that you've done, you're not just looking at ancient bones. You've also, you know, been asked to, you know, like, what do you do with a body that's been pulled out of a peat bog, right? You know, like something that's been preserved in some way. So the first thing you know you got to do, you got to dry this thing off, but you got to let it dry naturally. Luckily, you've got something right there, the hot Arizona sun, to dry this thing off and get it serviced nice and dry. And then you can apply fingerprint dust and try to lift a print. You are able to lift good prints. We're going to say you get probably a thumbprint and two other fingerprints off of this thing. You have good quality prints. Now, what you do with those prints is up to you.
Nice.
Jack, I guess Thorne's going to be watching. Jack, what are you thinking? Who do we take those to? Well, I think the chief would do anything for us at this point, but...
If he has access to that, I was thinking more of Patrick Hobson, our FBI contact. Or even, I was told we're going to have a help from a Miss Green. He might have some connections as well.
It's your rodeo.
I think Jack would go to Miss Green if she's available.
Okay. I don't think you've actually run into Miss Green yet.
I haven't talked to her yet, but Mr. Green said she was coming on site, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we doing?
I guess we could go back and call Mr. Green to see if I can get her contact.
Well, he said that she would be in touch.
Okay.
Well, right now we've got...
Do you have some... I don't know if... Does Bert have any contacts? He's the lawyer.
Ooh, maybe.
That is a good question. Surely in his career he would have had to deal with fingerprints before. Maybe certainly. He's got some... contacts, or if he doesn't, you know, Bailey or Cooper would have.
It's not crazy. So roll me. I would say if it weren't for the fact that I would say that again, what you're accessing might be a regional archive that you might not have worked with before. So otherwise, I would just give it to you, right? If this was like something where you normally worked, because where's Bailey Cooper and Morris?
Where is Bailey Cooper and Morris?
I think I said New York. I think I pulled that out of my ass.
We'll go with New York. That was my first thought, okay. too. Maybe on the nose, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah, so give me a roll. I'm wondering, should I give you a negative 20 on it?
How about bureaucracy?
Give me a bureaucracy at a negative... Okay, actually, let me ask you this. Are you trying to do this surreptitiously to get access to who does this fingerprint belong to? Or do you want to go through, like, official channels? If you're going to do it surreptitiously, you get a negative 20. That doesn't mean you can't get it done. It means you can't do it surreptitiously.
Bert is not a subtle man.
Wouldn't okay. criminology
I think
be
he wouldn't try to conceal it.
Surreptitious stuff.
I would say bureaucracy is probably still good for it to okay. see who you can squeeze and what policy you can do. If you just want to go straight up, then don't roll it with a negative 20.
Let me ask you this. Which option would be faster?
I think they're going to be a similar speed.
Okay, then I'll just roll without the negative 20 and go through the main channels.
Okay.
That's a success.
Okay,
56 under.
You think that
90.
you contact Bailey this time. Bert, honey, great to hear from you.
Bailey, darling, please, you flatter me.
Not again.
Listen, I've got a law school friend. I think he's out there in Globe. You could probably get it to his office. I bet he has someone local who can run Texas.
Well, Bailey, that's just fantastic, isn't it?
I'm hanging up.
Okay.
He tells you to basically take it to a local law office, and they owe him a favor, and they have access to the Arizona-Texas compact, you know, where they share crime data. He can send it to you.
All right, I'll get that ball rolling.
Okay. So you guys are, by the time all this has happened, it's probably like 5-6 o'clock in the evening. It's probably like, 5 o'clock when they load up the bodies, and by 6 o'clock they have the truck on a flatbed trailer and are taking it to the impound lot there in Globe. Colorado's is still there, and he's like, maybe as he's about to leave, he sees you guys, kind of nods to you, a conspiratorial look, kind of gives you a nod, gets in his car, heads out. You guys gonna get up to anything else tonight? Gonna go anywhere special? Gonna go anywhere interesting?
Irradiated?
Somewhere that might click on a Geiger counter?
What do you guys think?
Okay, what have we got cooking? We have the fingerprints going. Is there anything else that we have waiting in the wings?
More bodies.
Yeah, more dead people.
We have more bodies.
We could
stop by the morgue again, but it's probably going to be that might be worth it.
Yeah. Didn't the guy say he's going to go work on that immediately? I say we go back
tonight,
to the morgue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say we go check it out.
The bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then first thing in the morning, they go to the...
To the mines.
Sounds
like a plan. You guys head out to the, or maybe you follow, the car all the way to the coroner's office. It's the state police crime lab here in Globe. Do you guys want to observe the autopsy kind of thing, or what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys get there, and as you pull up, it's late, right? And maybe you see Fred Smith. You see Fred Smith is there, driving in front of you. You see him get up to the parking lot. You see him get out, close the door, lock his car door, and go inside the building in front of you. But As you pull up, you do notice there is a car there, a dark colored sedan. No other cars in the parking lot except for this one pulled up right there to the front door. And as you guys are pulling into the parking lot and Fred Smith is getting out, you see two men in black suits. The door is open and they get out. And one of them quickly says something, you see, to Dr. Smith, and appears to flash something to him, like show him something, and then begin talking to him. What do you guys do when you see this?
Who else should be running in this investigation?
Guess we'd better go find out. And,
maybe you should lead if there's any. Funny, but we don't need them to see the bodies. If they get too inquisitive, maybe you could scare them with some your knowledge of the law. Or at least by talking to them, scare them.
Yes. Okay.
Or just fighting them the way you normally do.
Jack, I'll do my best. And yeah, he's going to walk over and interrupt this conversation and be like, gentlemen, what are we conversing about here? I am I'm Bert Morris. I'm representing the local Apache tribe. And I will remind you, this is in the jurisdiction of the Apache Nation.
These two guys, they're both this is a black guy and a white guy. They look at each other.
Oh, one of you is black, one of you is white.
These guys, they're both like look to be in like their like, you know, late 20s, early 30s. They look at each other, you know, they kind of slit their eyes at each other and look back at you. You know, it's like the black guy, he puts his hand out. He's like, Agent Brewer, this is my my fellow agent, Agent Jones.
A pleasure, Agents Brewer and Jones.
Yeah, we are...
What brings you here to the morgue tonight?
Yeah, we're actually with the ATF. This investigation has run alongside of something that we were looking into as well, and we just needed to get some information here from Dr. Dorner, or from Dr. Smith. Who are you guys with, exactly?
I'm representing the Apache Nation. My cohorts here are employed by, respectively, the FBI and the Montana Police Department. I don't say that last part. My cohorts are representing the FBI.
FBI? You know, and they look at each other and they kind of give each other a look.
Granted, not the formal agency. They're merely subcontractors, if you will.
Huh. Under who exactly? And he turns to you two.
Agent Patrick Hobson.
And then it's the white guy takes out, the Jones takes out his paper and writes that down. Well, listen, we need to, we actually are very interested in the results of this. Dr. Smith, if you wouldn't mind us tagging along, you know, we're here. We've heard some troubling things through the old federal grapevine. So we just want to, we want to get an eyeball on what you've got here.
And what branch of the federal pipeline would that be?
And Brewer's like,
ATF, Jack, keep up.
And Brewer's like, I'm sorry, I think I'll answer to Agent Hobson if he shows up for now. You know, but this is really... You guys are this is a pre-existing case. I think we probably, you know, should probably take lead on the coroner issue.
Here's the thing. If this were a regular DG operation, we would already suspect there is some supernatural shit was going on, and we wouldn't want them to be exposed to it. But this is not a typical DG operation.
It's not.
And I can't think of a reason for them not to participate in the autopsy.
Well, then roll me a law roll.
Okay. 5 under 90.
God damn it, that's right. that you are able to contrive, like, this is a little odd, and even thinking about, like, just because the ATF says they have jurisdiction doesn't mean they have jurisdiction. You certainly haven't seen anything that leads you to believe there is an alcohol, tobacco, or firearms-related issue in this. So, and same with you, honestly, Thorn. Like, ATF? Like, what? Like, what? You haven't seen anything about ATF. You know, for this to be coming up, this is odd. And you think that they're kind of swinging their federal weight around between the two of you. You think that they're just hoping, honestly, that they will be allowed into here. You don't think they really have a leg to stand on.
Thorne's kind of taking Bert's lead, so...
Gentlemen, until I see the proper paperwork, I'm afraid this will remain an issue for the jurisdiction of the Apache Nation. We'll get you a report tomorrow morning. Good night.
They stand there. Brewer is, like, standing there, like, really, like, staring daggers at you. It's quiet for a long time. And poor Dr. Smith is just there with his, like, kind of briefcase, just kind of, like, really uncomfortable as you guys are doing this. And Jones kind of, like, gives Brewer's arm, like, a light slap, and he just gives him, like, the cut it kind of motion. Brewer kind of nods and says, "We'll be back after we've talked to Hobson. Have a good evening, Jim."
"I bet you will."
"Go ahead and make a copy of that report for us, if you would, Dr. Smith." They turn and get in their car. And they pull away off into the darkness. Smith is like, "Well, that sure was weird, right?"
"ATF. They ever bothered you before, Frank? Fred?"
"No, keep it with Frank."
No. "You just call him the wrong name all the time." "Yes.
Ted?
Ralph?
Derek? Whatever it is."
"No, never." You know, and he's like, "Well, shall we?" You know, and he leads you in there, and you know, and again, we're gonna zoom up, like, from a top-down shot as he turns and heads in the building, and you know, the three of you, or two of you, turn and go after him. We see, you know, maybe Jack is kind of looks after the agents for a second, but then turns, but Thorne is standing there for a long minute, watching them drive out of the parking lot before grabbing the door and entering. I think that'll do it for this episode of Delta Green Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays.
You have some good work to look forward to in the near future.
Real good work.
As he snaps a glove.
the plot thickens.
The plot thickens indeed. All right, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us as always. We could not do without you. You want to get these episodes a week early. You want to get the Sandy check and all that. Please come over to Patreon. It's $3. You buy us a cup of coffee. But it keeps us going. It is literally why we can just afford to do this. We do have at least, I believe, one new person. I'd like to thank Elriel. Elriel, thank you.
Hey, well, Elriel.
Thank you for joining us over there. But yeah, guys, thank you for sticking
through
it.
Thank you,
Joe. I gotcha. Good sesh.
This one's getting sticky. Like, there's like all sorts of wild shit. Now you're even making Colorados into a bad guy? Holy shit. Like, it's gonna be
this
good.
All right. There's a bunch of arrows on this murder board.
Yeah, I've been going crazy on that.
Let me pull up the board.
There's a lot. We're running out of arrows. Running out of board.
Oh man, look at that. Oh, that is gross.
Did you get a chance to write down the two ATF agents?
Agent Brewer and Jones on the right.
Brewer and Jones, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, things are getting interesting.
We found a lot, though. Four Taurus, yeah. Fingerprints, the badge. We're hot on this guy's heels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And this blonde.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, thank you again, as always.
Thank you, Joe.
Join
thank
us next time. Sean. We'll see what these guys are going to find out this, what they're going to find at the autopsy. At yet another autopsy. And then we'll see where we go from there. But we will catch you. What was that? When will this episode be loaded to the podcast? So I think, so that's Pumpkin Cakes. Thank you, Pumpkin, for joining us, as always.
Hey, Pumpkin Cakes.
It'll be, so episode 4 goes out next week. So this is episode 5 and 6. So in the next 3 weeks is when this will come out. So yeah. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us live. Everyone listening, everyone watching, we will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.